worship you. You are so worthy to receive praise. And we glorify you and we exalt you. Blessings and glory and praise and honor. Thank you, Jesus. Bless, Lord. Bless, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We release your life, health, healing, vitality, strength, endurance, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. All these things are part of the born-again nature. Lord, we know that we cannot instill that which you've already provided, but I pray that the accentuation of your grace will bring forward by the power of your Spirit all these things that we have been made to be in Christ Jesus. Let the glory of the Lord rest upon your house. Let the glory of the Lord rest upon each and every person who is watching, wherever they're at, in whatever state, geographical state that they're at. Father, we worship you. This service is meant for them. This service is meant for me. It's meant for us. We love you, Father. There's nothing by chance in Christ. Well, I speak life, and I release that life once again in my words to everyone that is listening. Bodies, be healed. Emotions, be stilled. Life of God, raise up in you in strength. Peace, be still to the battle that is around you. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, this honor hath all his saints. You've given us this honor. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you off the minds and emotions of the participants of this service, both now, presently, and in the future, those who will view this in the future. In Jesus' name, peace, be still. Holy Ghost, we love you, sir. You are our teacher, and you're the manifestation of power in the earth. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. We love all of you that are watching. Those of you here, we love you so much as well. Greet one another for just a few moments. We're going to get into the Word here in a little bit. We're excited about that too. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're doing good tonight. You know, we're doing good. Miss Barbara said we're holding this down. We are doing a good job too. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes for just a few moments. I want us to read several verses in chapter 2. Greetings to everybody that is watching. The richest man that ever lived, as far as I know, I don't know any proof that would say any different, was King Solomon. There are other scriptures that depict how much that he actually received on a yearly, annual basis of gold and all kinds of, and it would interpret out probably, well, I've done figures on it before in the past, but it may interpret out to nowadays trillions of dollars. Probably wouldn't be a billionaire, probably a trillionaire. I know that Queen of Sheba, she left about a $60 million offering that she left him. That's quite just a offertorium. That's pretty good to leave that amount of money just as a hi and hello. So that's just depicted one part of him. He wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. And if you ever get into Ecclesiastes, I would just encourage all of you to read Proverbs first and get very well acquainted with Proverbs, because Ecclesiastes can be a tricky book. It can be hard to understand because he'll say some things in there that you're wondering, what is the truth in this? And what this sounds contradictory to a lot of truth that I know. But the interpretation, the way that you unlock Ecclesiastes, is that you understand Proverbs is a book of a man with incredible wisdom walking with God and hearing from God and implementing that wisdom in the earth. Ecclesiastes is a man who is a repentful man who has backslidden, same man, but living at two different eras of his life. He's backslidden, allowed fortune and pleasures of this world to still his walk with God. And he's interpreting what a waste it is to live life without God. And so that's the interpretation, the overall interpretation of the book of Ecclesiastes when he goes into a lot of expressions like vanity. Now, let's look at chapter 2, because I don't want to spend very much time on this. I just want to exhort you for just a moment. He said, I said in my heart, go to now. That's that go to now expression, you'll find that also, amazing enough, over in the book of James when he's talking about rich men. Go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it's mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, and yet acquainted my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. And this is, he talks about his ability through his finances and through his riches, what he did. And this is just a tip of the iceberg, really. I made me great works. I built me houses, plural. I planted me vineyards, plural. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruit. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and I had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered unto me silver and gold and the particular treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me singers and men singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, that of all sorts. Now this guy they didn't have stereo systems back then. He just hired, he just had 500 people singing for him all the time. That's pretty awesome. They just followed him around, sung for him, I guess. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. In other words, whatever he wanted. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Now we're just going to skip on down, because he goes on to a lot of stuff that we don't have time to go into. But in 17, verse 17, it says, therefore, and this is incredible that this man would say this, and this is really the heart of the whole book. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Isn't that amazing? that the richest man that ever lived came to a point after saying he had everything that anybody could ever want, and that he could just look at something and say, I want that, and it's mine. There was nothing, I mean nothing, that he could not obtain. And yet, you'll find throughout this book, in verse 17, exemplifies where he came to. He said, I got where I hated life. I just hated life. And what he was saying is this: it does not matter what you have. If you don't have God in your life, everything is vanity and vexation of spirit. And the people who don't learn what money is for, motivation of building money can keep a guy pretty busy and steady as far as something to do and wanting something to do most of his life or most of her life. But when it comes down to it at the end, if they have not received Jesus, nor if they have not used their finances for purposes other than themselves, they will all men come to a place where they say, I hate life. It's vanity. At the same time, he goes on to say in other places, you can have just a portion. But if you have life or God in your life, that's all that really matters. Hallelujah. So there's a lot of rich people in here tonight. And especially because you know that what he gives you is to be shared back. It really all belongs to him. We just say, what portion do we get to keep? Somebody that won't ever, well, maybe years to come, that couldn't be listening tonight, drove up in my yard the other day, and they're just really precious person in a good old boy sense, and they had an incredible four-wheel drive, huge. It looked like, I was like, oh, yeah, baby. And it's black, little interior, and it just had everything. And I was like, whoa, yes, Lord, hallelujah. And I walked out there, and this guy was really, he was helping me in something else. And so I said, man, this is really nice. And the thing of it is, I knew that he had another one at home almost as nice as that one. And I said, my God. He got that one. He got this one in LaBelle. And I said, man, this is amazing. So I was like, you don't mind me asking, what do these things run, like 40, 50,000? He goes, this one costs like 70. And I was like, golly. And see, I knew he had another one at home that was almost as good as that one. This was just his sport around truck. See, here's the deal. If I had the money, it'd be a sin for me to buy a truck like that, to spend $70,000. My spirit wouldn't let me do that, okay? But that he's a good old boy, okay? But you know there's Christians, I mean, I've known them, that have one almost as good as the one they went and bought. And they just wanted to, there was a Christian, he's very well known. He's a Word of Faith preacher, and he was trying to. He's a prosperity preacher, and he was trying to impress his crowd by telling them how that God will bless. And now, I won't quote him. I mean, I won't say his name because I would have to read it first. But I've heard it. I may have read it. I'm not sure. But from everything I have heard that he'd said is that he really didn't know. Now, he probably did, but it was frivolous to him. He goes, I really don't know how many cars I got. Now, he may have been trying to make a point that he is so prosperous in God, but to me, that's ignorance gone to seed. Because God didn't give you all that money to have all that. Can you imagine Jesus or Paul saying, I don't know how many cars I got? Now, see, I don't know if y'all seen or not, I got me a nice four-wheel drive pickup over there. Hallelujah, it looks nice. But it don't cost $70,000. And if I had 70 to spend, I still wouldn't do it. Okay? Because there's better things. Now, if you're a multimillionaire, maybe if you deal with millions all the time, 70 is not too much to you. But my spirit. But you know, there's Christians everywhere that, here's the thing. A Christian, and I'm not preaching to y'all because this would be like preaching to the choir. I'm just teaching. When you see Christians who begin to have money and it all begins to be spent on toys and themselves, you can just know. You don't have to tell anybody. You can just say within yourself, they're empty inside. They're empty. There's a vexation on the inside of them. They're trying to fill a void. Now, I'm not talking about not having a nice home, driving a nice car, but I'm talking about when two's not enough or one's not enough. Hallelujah. Can you imagine Paul saying that? Hallelujah. Can you imagine Paul saying, I just paid 70 for this, and I got another one at home just as good as this one. That's not the walk that we're on. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. How many love Jesus? Boy, we got some good teaching. We got to get on with it too. Let's bless the Lord and let's have you stand. If you have something tonight, bring it. Marty, give us some good bringing music, okay? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, you're blessed. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you and we thank you for this blessing. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in Immokalee. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole, and thousands are born again. We have all the money we need for this outpouring. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thanks, guys. Agree with me. Hallelujah. Let's bless this. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Father, I'm asking that all of our minds will be focused on what we're about to hear, what we're about to see in the Spirit. I'm asking that, Lord, that since we are here, we'll be here. Since we are here, that we'll not be doing something else, but that, Lord, our focus, our attention will be given for this purpose of the advancement of the kingdom of God within us. Father, I pray for everyone that is watching at home or wherever they're at. I pray for people that will be listening tomorrow to this message. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in their life. Blessings upon them. Blessings for just listening in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. We want to talk about by every word of God tonight, and we're going to read some prophecies and read some things that have recently become prophecies to us, come in, both in-house and from other places. We're going to look at Luke chapter 4 for just a moment. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, verse 1, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it should be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by everybody say every. Every word of God. And we want to just kind of teach along those lines for just a moment, because when Jesus said every word of God, we're going to talk about every word of God, or every kind of word of God that is the word of God. Jesus went on, as if we were to have finished that whole chapter, to defeat Satan in three different areas: spirit, soul, and body. And he defeated him by speaking the word of God. Now, if you've noticed lately, we've been kind of on this speak the word mode. We've been, the Holy Spirit's had us in this. And Sunday, if you weren't here Sunday, we passed out some handouts. We've got some around here, I'm sure. It's healing scriptures and confessions that our good friend Gary Carpenter provided. And by the way, I'd gotten a text later on this week that there was one typo in it, and I don't know where it's at, and he probably identified, but it was good enough for me. I didn't know it at the time when I passed it out. It's good enough for you guys, okay, that it was passed out Sunday. We may correct that later, okay? But it's been corrected on his website, just a small typo. But anyway, we had those passed out, and we gave those to you because Sunday's message was, it can't be that simple. That was the message title. And we came off of a premise, a thought was that people, especially when they endure hardship or infirmities for a long period of time, invariably, without even trying to, they come to a place when it isn't solved quick enough, they come to a place where it must be harder, there must be a more deeper answer to this than just the simplicity of the Word of God. In other words, it'll go into those modes, and I tried to get descriptive in the sense it'll go into the Raiders of the Lost Ark kinds of clues, or what was the other one I can't remember. There was another movie that had those clues, you know, all those clues where you go from clue to clue to clue, and I'll think of it in a moment. But anyway, that's not important. The important part is this: that Satan or the flesh or both will convince us it can't be that simple. And it is that simple. It is what simple? That if we speak the word relentlessly and stay on it, it will produce. My word, in Isaiah, he said, my word will produce. It will produce the thing whereunto I send it. It'll prosper. It'll not come back to me void. We can't make God a liar. He watches over his word in Jeremiah to perform it. And we gave many other scriptures over the last couple weeks about putting a watch on my mouth. And we said last week that just kidding does count, okay? And the reason why we say all that is this, is because the body of Christ a lot of times believes, and I fall into it myself, is that our words don't matter. Our words do matter. Because we are a people of faith. And when we speak to the mountain, we believe that it's going to move. And if we continue to speak to the mountain, Mark chapter 11, Jesus speaking to the mountain and teaching us to speak to the mountain, in the says and saith, all those, as we've taught before, they're a repetition to teach a continuation. In other words, it's not a one-time say. There is definitely, by context, contextually and in the Greek, there is two verifications there that Jesus is saying that you can speak as in a continual fashion to something and get something to change. Hallelujah. So that's Mark chapter 11. When we don't believe it is when we'll start and stop. And I'm preaching not to you guys, I'm preaching to myself. If we start and stop, we never really believed it. The other thing that we went into, or we may have believed it, but we got talked out of it. The other thing that we went into Sunday was we went into Mark chapter 4, and we talked about how the word progresses. Because a lot of times people will be deceived by Mark chapter 11, not that Mark chapter 11 would deceive you, but when it says, Jesus says, if a man believes in his heart, Satan will twist that and say, confession will work, but it only works if you just believe it in your heart. Well, sure, it has to come to a place of full fruition, but the word doesn't just work at 100-fold. In other words, it doesn't work just when you get it to 100-fold belief. There's ample illustrations in Mark 4. There's the 30, the 60, the 100. Then he goes on to talk about the blade, the ear, and the full corn in the ear. He's talking about how the faith grows through a progression. And faith will work at 30%. Now, it's not going to work. It's not going to get you the 30% yield, or however much you believe at 30% is going to be less than 100. But hallelujah, I'd rather the pain lessen than to say it's never going to go away, because I can't. I mean, it's not. I'm not going to get any results. I'm not going to get any lessening of pain, or I'm not going to get any trickle of finances until I believe it all. It doesn't just all come all or nothing. It comes in increments. Nobody ever believes it all at once, or else why would we confess? Confessing changes you. Romans 12. It's by the renewing of the mind. It's the renewing of the senses. The word renews. Your spirit's not the problem. Your spirit does have to be taught. It can be taught. But the one that's causing the problem, the one that's throwing askew in everything, is the soul. So we can, once we line the soul up, it's amazing how much the soul has power to shut things down. Once we line the soul up and get it totally convinced, I've loved to hear what Gary Carpenter said. He said he's concerning finances. It's not a brag. He said, I've just went through it so many times through the years where I'd seen God bring me through when there was lack. He goes, my soul now has been just so changed that I can't even get it to worry when it comes to finances. I mean, like, if it looks like there's lack or a potential lack coming up, it's like, the soul has been so redundantly baptized with the truth of God against the problem, the potential problem, is that now it's like the soul is convinced now. It's not just the spirit, the soul is convinced. And that's where we all want to be. Hallelujah. Okay. Every word of God, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Now I'm going to read this, and you don't have to turn there. Ephesians 6:16 and 17 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith is what Jesus lifted up. How many of you would agree? Three fiary darts, Satan come up and boom, 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 three times in the wilderness. Each time that he said it's written, that's the shield, okay? But it's the word of God. But the word of God serves in two aspects. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And it specifically says the sword, which is the word of God. Now, the word of God here is the word rhema. It's not the word logos. The word rhema means, it can mean the word, but it means it also incorporates the present tense mind of Christ, or the present tense in all, you know, and I'm kind of taking some liberty to color this out for you. But what we found in some teachings that we did before in the past is that the shield is a word of defense. The sword is the word of God. It's a creative, it's speaking into your world, into your life. But it's also can be interpreted the present tense speakings of the Lord, meaning prophecy. The things that are spoken as in prophecy, the things that are given to us as when we know that it's a proven prophecy. It's something that comes from God. So proven present day speaking prophecies are the sword of the Spirit. And we've went over this really extensively before in the past. So we're going to look at some of those tonight because, you know, over in, I know where it's at, but I want to make sure. I think it's 1 Timothy 1:8. Paul says to Timothy, war with the prophecies. It's either 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. I think it's 1 Timothy. War with the prophecies that went before you. So that was prophecies that was given to Timothy. It's 1 or 1:18. We'll look it up later. But you know the scripture. He's saying that, Timothy, I sent you to Ephesus. I gave you these prophecies. The Holy Spirit gave you these prophecies. War with them. War with them. Because when they're proven by God's word, now, let me give you, because we're going to read a couple of, I would say it in-house prophecies, some things that have come recently, and not, I'll just indulge and say it's not by me. Okay, let me give you in-house people in-house policies. That policy sounds kind of secular, but in-house wisdom for how we look at this. If the Lord gives you something, and you discern through prayer that it's something that may be for the corporate body, a lot of times it takes some seasoning, because sometimes the Lord will give you something, and it may be just for your personal understanding. It may involve the corporate, but it may be just for you to keep and just to pray over, okay? So then you have to ask the Lord. Lord, so then what I would always ask is that you give it to me privately, or to Candy privately, and then she'll come and bring it to me. And we'll pray over it, we'll look over it, we'll judge it according to Scripture. Just because we've received it, I will say this, doesn't mean that it will automatically be read up here. And that doesn't mean that doesn't disprove it, that it's not from God. It just may mean that it's not for the time. God says it's for a later time, or it may be something that I need to hear to put into my spirit to be able to, you know, judge things in the future. So there might be a number of different reasons. So when you give, if you do write out a prophecy or something the Lord gives you, don't just automatically expect that it's going to be presented. Well, if the Lord says so, we will present it in time. And of course, what we do is we follow the same procedure that we've been doing for years with. Now, if you hear me speak a prophecy, there's no way to hide that, and that's perfectly fine. Or if somebody stands up here or prophesies, and we judge it as well as being a prophecy from the Lord, there's no way to hide that. So we're not really trying to hide people's identity. It's just the prophecies that will come, we will not share who that prophecy came by. I think that's integrity. That person will not go around and say, this came by me. That'll prove their integrity as well. And I have been a part, let me just share this. I have been a part of, had a privilege to be part of kind of a proper judgmental panel for years in a particular ministry. And I don't know who, it's kind of a blind panel, because I don't know who my other participants are that are men or women of God that are helping judge prophecies that come to me. And I don't know who gave the prophecy, and that's fine. I just judge it in a blind sense. And through the years, I've looked at, I don't know, I mean, I may have been judging these prophecies for many, many, many years. And so I don't want you to be scared that there's going to be some kind of looking over, you know, just follow the Lord. I would say of all the dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of prophecies, I have, there's probably been a handful, maybe 3, 4, 5 that I've ever sent back and said, this is where I'm at. And so there's an integrity. I don't just, because it comes from a particular ministry, I don't just say, okay, it's okay. If I don't see the Word of God in there, if I see other intentions in there, if I see something, and so of maybe hundreds, there's been, and I've always, it's been fun because I've always, at different times when I've given, like, here's my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 reasons that I do not see this in the Word of God, I've always, usually I'll write back and say, I am glad that this is a blind panel. I don't know who gave this. I'm glad I don't know who gave this. I don't know who it came from. So, you know, I'm always like a little bit scared that, you know, maybe this came from somebody that I really, really respect. But, you know, I just have to be honest in my heart. And so that's how we will, if the Lord gives you something, write it down. And you don't have to title it. You don't have to come up with a lot of scriptures on it. Just listen to the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to read a couple of present-day speakings that have come to the house, and then we're going to go into some more that have come from someplace else, and one particular one, at least two particular ones that Gary has just read recently in one of his services, and if he listens to this service, obviously he'll recognize that. But it just speaks so apropos to the words of our mouth and what in our speaking and what we're saying. And last Wednesday night, we were on confessions. I'm not sure I had. Oh, that was that particular one was cleansing the books. You remember that? And we went into there are books in heaven. We went into Jesus talking about every idle word that is spoken will. And so where are those words written down at? We concluded, I believe, in a biblical sense, that those words are actually written down. And I said there might be times when all of us have to go in privately. You don't have to stand up in front of the church and say, Lord, what is on the books that's contradicting what I want to happen in other areas? In other words, have I foolishly, okay, I'm praying that God meets that financial need over there. Well, then am I just, is there other words? See, because those words stand as a memorial against you in that certain sense. So you've got all these things, you're in your prayer closet and asking God to meet that financial need and believe in God, and then you'll go out and you'll make some confessions, and then you'll go over, somebody will say, well, how are you doing in that area? Man, it's rough. It's just really rough and tough. It's just, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, I don't know what we're going to do, and it's rough, and that just stands, that's written down, and that's written down. I want a full flow of nothing but everything on the books I want working for me. I don't want no contradiction in my books. I don't want him, well, he said this, and then he said this. How does those two jive? Which one do I go with? He's not sure what in the world they're going to do. He don't know how in the world they're going to make it. But over here, you are the God that supplies and meets all my need. He was doing that at 8 o'clock this morning. And at 10 o'clock, he was telling his neighbor, this is a mess. I don't know what we're going to do. And God says, I don't know what I'm going to do either. We found a scripture that God said, you've wearied me. You've wore me out with your words. I don't know which way to go. You got me going one way, and then about the time I think I'm going to be able to get enough authority over into this life for you, then you just tell somebody, my body's breaking down. It's just breaking down like a cheap watch. Ha, 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 ha. God says, I'm not laughing. I don't know what you think's funny. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know. This about got me. I think I'm going to have to take next thing I think I'm going to be is on antidepressants. I don't know what, I mean, Jesus, my God in heaven, take the word of God and stand, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, glory be to God. So, here's one, we really got some good ones here, but I just wanted, this one's short, it's anonymous for you, this person put choose, and I think it's apropos. It is in choosing, says the Lord. Who will you choose? What will you choose? Will you choose me and my way, or will you choose the flesh? And what it wants, or really the flesh, for really the flesh is not what you want. You do want me and my ways. So in your choosing, choose me. Choose my way, my plan. You can walk out of anything or anything of the flesh by choosing me. Choosing my will, my way, it is just that simple. Hallelujah. Is it that simple? Yes. The flesh tries to make it hard, but it's just running to me, my word, my ways, and win. The flesh only brings death and destruction. So choose you life and blessing. If you choose the flesh, you will surely die. But in me, in my spirits, or in my spirit, there is life and blessing. There is deliverance. It is yielding life in me. Hallelujah. Now, this came as an inward vision to someone. I thought it was really good. And there was another word that came as a result of that. And it was a little bit of a correction, but I thought, man, correct us, Lord. God gave me this inner vision of a building filled with doctors and chiropractors and psychologists, and they were in their learning. And then after the meeting, they went to lunch, and they talked about everything they had learned, and they shared with each other their own personal latest discoveries and praised each other for them. But outside the building where the meeting was, there were thousands and thousands of people groaning because they needed physical healing and emotional healing and mental healing, and who needed to be set free from hatred and angers and drugs and alcohols and lying and pornographies and gamblings and all kinds of bondage. But the doctors and the counselors were more concerned about getting to lunch and getting on with the rest of their day to care. The doctors and counselors continued to go to the meetings and lunches, but never actually helped anyone. And yet, that was supposedly the very reason why they wanted to become doctors and counselors. The Lord said, "My bride is fat." This goes along with this inward vision. My bride is fat. Her dress is bursting at the seams because she's gorging herself on the word. She's puffed up with knowledge and revelation, but she doesn't exercise, quote, do my word by giving my love and my word to others who desperately need it and believing my power will flow through her to touch them. My bride doesn't deny herself by fasting and prayer and spending enough intimate time with me to know how much I love her and to know my heart for others. My bride is ugly because of her sin, and worse yet, ugly because of her self-righteousness, because she doesn't even see or acknowledge her own sin. If my bride will just spend intimate time with me, seeking me first and my righteousness above everything else, she will know my love and will want to completely surrender to my will, and she will see my kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's powerful. It's powerful. Another message of not just hearing, but doing. Very powerful. I want to pass out to you some prophecies. There's two, so take one of each, and we'll read them together. So, guys, if you'll pass those out, make sure there's plenty for everybody. So, pass those out, please. I'm going to read to you some prophecies. We're going to go through them together. You can mark on these, take them home, scribble on them. Don't feed them to the cat later. Keep them, read them for your devotions, maybe for a few days or several days. I was going to tell everyone how we, you know, there's prophecies that come forth many services. And we have, Candy will type them up and record them. Miss Barbara Unland proofreads them as far as getting certain corrections. She doesn't change the flow of the actual what is said, but helps us in a lot of different areas as a former educator. And we appreciate that part of the many things that she does around here. But so there's an effort to get these things out. Their own... the website, I think we'll probably start just putting some of the printed ones after each time that they are spoken on the back table. Tonight there's going to be two that's back there, and you can pick those up. We're not going to read those because we don't have time. They're just very powerful. I know I was the vessel, but I'm just telling you, It's not hard for me to say these are very, very powerful prophecies. The Lord's present day speaking, this one was mortification will take place. No, that's the one I'm going to read. The one that I want you to get that was spoken to here was divorce yourself from care, and that's in the back. You don't have those. I've got a lot of handouts, so you can see I'm trying to work through these. Divorce yourself from care. That is on the back table. You need to pick that up going out. And stay steady in the ark. So those were in May. I believe both of those were spoken in May. And those of you that are listening and those of you ever here that need to, if you go to the website and you go down to teachings, you'll scroll down on the front page. I don't know how fast this will work. Okay, go to teachings and help me out here. Oh, I see it. Let's see. Site index. If you go down to site index, Candy can do this 10 times faster. That's not the way to do it? Okay, Candy, come tell us. Okay. Thank you. See, this is why it's good to have somebody that knows what they're doing. Okay?
When you open up the website.
Hold on a second, because this is, people are listening. It's real easy. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
When you open up the website and you see the logo at the top where it says Family Prayer Center, right beside it there's three little lines. If you'll touch that, it's right between donations.
Oh, that's a lot easier.
And then you look down and you'll see it has home, about us, teachings, and then prophecies.
So then when you go to prophecies.
You go to prophecies, you open it up, and it has it right there.
It has years gone by. Mm-hmm. And then May's
is not up yet.
It should be there.
It should be anytime.
Anytime.
Yet.
Actually, Candy communicated with our webmaster prior to church, so it should be up. Sometimes. But the neat thing about it is the MP3 is there, so you can hear it in its original fashion, how it was spoken, and also the PDF. So you'll have something printed. So thanks, Candy. I appreciate, and thank you for helping me there, because I was making it hard, and we don't need to do that, okay? Hallelujah. The words spoken. Listen, as someone that is trying to be a leader for you guys, when I share a testimony with you, I am not trying to, and I hope you know my heart by now, I'm not trying to say that I've arrived. I'm telling you, this works. It works. And I've been seeing it work in so many different ways in my own life. I would say it's been about a year. Now, I don't know how I started this, the Holy Spirit. I have not, I'll say it this way. I have not been waiting to meet the morning. Now, I'm not trying to talk about what time you start praying or how early you get up. I've not been meeting the day. I go to meet the day. I go out to meet the day in prayer. And what I'm saying by that is, you know, people will say, I don't know what this day holds. I know what the day holds. Not specifically, but I go out before the day can ever say good morning to me. I begin to say to it, I prophesy to this day. Good things will happen in this day. Glorious things will happen in this day. I receive financial blessings in this day. I receive blessings over. Somebody told me during the break that as a kid, they used to go out and pray over the mailbox. Remember I told you Sunday that I'll pray over the mailbox and speak blessings on that mailbox that checks come in from all over the place? It works. All I can tell you, it works. But I don't, this is not brag, this is just, it has made, I cannot tell you the difference that it's made in being able to accomplish and see things accomplished in the last year. I don't allow the morning to come meet me and say, I'm not really sure, I'm going to kind of work myself through this day. However, you know, I'm going to ping pong off of, you know, I begin to say, day, I say this is the day the Lord has made. I speak unto you and I say according to the word. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. Blessings are going to happen. It's been working. It's been working. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Again, let me give you two real quick. Well, I gave you one the other day, but I'll just repeat it because it's been so wonderful. Something happened a couple weeks ago to my left foot. And this, I know enough to be dangerous in the sense of physiology. I've read enough sports medicine and stuff and runner's world for years and all kinds of stuff. I knew the symptom. I don't even like to say the symptom, but I knew the symptom was a stress fracture. I knew that's what it was. I could not hardly walk on it. I couldn't hardly walk on it. It's not one of those things that just you, I mean, rest for a stress fracture will increase. I mean, you know, it'll help it go away in time, but it'll last for months and months. And I could not hardly walk on it. I began to speak just like it was a speak to that thing. Now, I've done 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6 mile runs since then, and it feels so good. I mean, you know, at times it's hinted, but I don't take hints. I was recently, meaning just this week, trying to get something accomplished with the Collier County government, okay? I won't go into details. It's not important right now. For me, how many of you know the joy of working with bureaucracy and governmental things? Mavis does, yes. It was one of those kinds of things, kind of. It really was. I know your story. I was trying to get something done, and a professional was working with me, and they came back to me, and I got the call from them that there was only two ways to apply into what I needed to get done, and they said, it looks like you're, based on the information you gave us, you're going to fall in that category. It means you're going to have to appear before these, and it was going to cost a bunch, thousands. That was the first step, and then they said, when you get that cleared, then you got to go to another review, and it's going to be another several, possibly thousands of dollars, and I was like, I'm going to get this accomplished no matter what. God's going to make a way. And so I said, thank you. They said, okay, you know, send us the rest of your information. I said, okay, blah, blah, blah. I got off the phone. I said, Candy, she was back. I said, can you come in here, please? I said, we need to agree for something right now. I began to speak to that thing. Because the natural thing, my insides were like, my God, I'm not ready for this. I don't want to take the days and hours it's going to take to get this accomplished, and the money. And so I said, no, wait a minute. His word spoken. And I began to say, okay, this is what we want. I say this is going to be accomplished. I say angels are going to carry this application through. God's going to change this. I don't know how God's going to change it, but God's going to change this. That woman called me back today. She texts me and she goes, good news. You get to apply on the other way, and it's not, you don't have to go through any all that bureaucracy. You don't have to go, and it's all that stuff that was going to cost me money. There's going to be some money involved, but none of all that time and money. And I was like, glory to God. This stuff works. It works. But the natural part of me just wanted to call Candy in there and say, my God, Jesus, after all the work that we've done, now we got all this obstacle in front of us, all this obstacle. And it was like, no, I'm not going to speak that. What I'm going to speak is the Word of God. It works. Hallelujah. So let's look at a couple of these prophecies. And as I said, those other prophecies are on the back table. Pick them up, read them. Let's look at this one to start with. Go to war in this hour. Does everyone have that one? I want to make sure, because I've got so many different handouts here. I want to make sure you're getting the right ones. Many of my children, Gary read this one the other night. Many of my children are putting up with things that they should not. They are putting up with things that they do not have to. For many are putting up with circumstances that they do not have to. They are putting up with symptoms that they do not have to. They are putting up with things that the enemy has sent and circumstances have sent that they do not have to. For did I not say to think on those things that are pure? Dwell on those things that are of a good report. Think on those things that are pure and honest and true and of a good report. Think on my word. But not only think on my word, put my word in your mouth. Well, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to share something with you. And this is real personal, okay? But everybody does it, or most people do. I have one visitation in the night, commonly. Sometimes I'll sleep all the way through. But normally I have one visitation in the night that I have to go to the restroom, okay? That is, Pastor, we're not really interested in your bathroom visitations. I know. But I'm trying to just be real common here. That's usually about 3:30 or something like that, okay? Okay, 3:30. This morning, because it was the day before, at 3:30, I get up to go to the bathroom, and who's there but Mr. Care? I mean, you wake up out of sound sleep, and now listen, it can be your own soul, because your own soul can worry, but we know enough about spiritual warfare that those things know what you're trying to accomplish, and they know the things of your life, and as soon as you wake up, they're right there. And as soon as I woke up, and I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom, and I don't want to disturb Candy, but I'm going to go to the bathroom. And it's right, there it is, the thought of what I just heard the day before, you know, that afternoon. Thousands, thousands. Time, reviews, all kinds of, I was like, and so I'm staggering to the bathroom, but I put the Word of God in my mouth. And I begin, what verse was I quoting? But I begin to speak that verse. Don't mums the Word. Don't let them pick on you and you just think on, slap them back. Slap them back. Hallelujah. Oh, I know what it was. I'm staggering out. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And, you know, at 3:30 in the morning, you know, I'm a drunk man staggering. And he shall direct your paths. Hallelujah. God acknowledges it, and that ding-dong devil that's standing there by the bedside, he acknowledges it, because I went back and went to sleep, woke up this morning, got a good report. Hallelujah. Speak to those things. Listen, if you think, and I said this the other night, to the one or whoever, and I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to alienate anybody, but anybody that ever hears these words matter and say, appreciate that, Pastor, but it's just, I don't think it's really as important as you're trying to get across to us. There's already a level of deception, no matter what a wonderful person you may be, that's tweaked in your understanding that the darkness has, I'm not saying you're possessed or anything, you're just maybe just wonderful, but you're still not getting a lot of the benefits that you could be getting. Because there's an alienation in your mind that this really isn't as important as what that guy says it is. He just needs something to preach on. He needs to stir us up, so he's got to come up with some good stuff. Hallelujah. Come over to my side in its victory. This is third paragraph. Live from my place of victory. Speak what you already have. Use your words. Use your words. Use your words to go to war in this hour against that which stands in your way. For many have not taken the tools that I have given them, and they have put up with things that have plagued their life, and they do not have to. For I say, come away with me and speak what I am speaking and say what I am saying. Speak victory. Speak life. Speak my truth, for I only know victory, and I only know life, and I only know truth. Think on those things. Fill your being with those things that are victory. Call those things which I have said in my word as though they are, because I believe they are. So let them fill your being. Let them become a part of you. Let them become who you are. I got to stop right there and remind you of what I said Sunday. We went to Romans 4:17, and we said this. Who started this faith stuff anyhow about speaking it? Yeah, is it a Tulsa preacher? Was it a name it and claim it, blab it and grab it preacher? It was God. The word says, and God told Abraham, Abraham, even God, preposition, even God, who calleth those things that be not as though they were. In other words, Abraham, I'm starting this faith stuff. I'm telling you, speak things that are not, you can't see them, just as if they were already there. Hallelujah. Praise God. That makes us the weird. But, you know, we try to hide a little bit. You know, when I'm talking to the mailbox in the street, I don't just do it with everybody sitting out like that. That's a private conversation. I'm talking to you, okay? I'm not real loud with it, too, so. God hears me. Fill your mouth with what I have said. Go to war in this hour. For many are struggling with lack, and they have let lack run their life. And I have not given it permission to, but you have let it run your life. Come against it. Go to war with it. Use my word. Use the authority that I have given you. Stand on what I have said. Open your mouth and fight. Declare what I have said about you. For I have provided all things that you need to win in victory through the standing of my son. So let your mind be convinced that it's true. Dwell on those things that I have said. Get them in you. Let them flow out of you. Speak to the mountain. Listen to me. The symptoms that have come have come. And I like that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In other words, we're not idiots. When a symptom is there, it's there. We're not trying to deny the symptom. We're not trying to deny the emotion that has come. Those things are real in the symptomatic sense, but they're not real according to truth, okay? They're not real according to truth. There's facts and there's truth. Truth trumps facts. Truth always trumps facts. Rock, paper, scissors, which one's the greatest? Truth. Speak the truth. The truth. We're not trying to get people to deny. But what do I say? Well, we said last week, we said it's good to prepare beforehand when people ask you, so you'll have a good response. It doesn't have to be, people don't need to know everything about you. Just say, I'm in a fight. It's the fight's still there, but I'm telling you, it's increasingly, by the word of God, getting better. It's changing from moment to moment. Let the word of God be put, so we're never telling people to, and don't tell, if you go to a doctor, he didn't go to you. He didn't come to your house, knock on your door, and come in. I want to tell you something. You went to him. So don't ever, I've heard people go in there and say, well, I went to a doctor, and he said, you got this, and then they just want to argue, no, I don't have no, listen, you went to him, so respect that. He didn't come to you. So respect that. Don't argue with the man. And because he usually don't even understand any of this anyway. But he's going to tell you what he's telling you to him is a fact, but to you it's only a symptom. It's a lying symptom. So then you walk out of there, you don't start saying what he said, that's truth concerning you. If somebody said, well, what did he say? Well, he said this, but it's a symptom. It's a lying symptom. It's not who I am. It's not on me. It doesn't control me. It's not who I am. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The symptoms that have come, but they don't have to stay. Symptoms are temporary. But my word is truth. That which I have said is truth. Have I not borne your sicknesses and carry your pains? Will you not bless me and forget not all the benefits that I have provided for you in covenant with my son? I've forgiven all your iniquities. I've healed all your diseases. Speak what I have said. Go to war this hour. Do not let lack stay, for there's no lack where I live. So why should there be lack where you live? The symptoms that have come against your body, I say, take authority over them and stand. And though it looks like they don't change, stand, because my word cannot fail. And when you give yourself to me in the things that I have said and speak, them over and over and over, it moves you into a place to receive what that which I have already done. Stand. So stand. Use your mouth as an offensive weapon. Stand. Do not sit there and stay silent. Stand. Speak. Fight. Go to war in this hour. Do not let that which the enemy has brought continually bring destruction. For behold, didn't I say I have given you all power over all the power of the enemy? Why do not my children exercise this right? He has no right to take, steal, or to kill. No right. I have paid for the right for him to be under your feet. Stand on my word. Square your shoulders. Be filled with what I have said. Let it possess you to where it is all that you think, because my word cannot fail. The symptoms that have come, you will see them dissipate just as quickly as they appeared, because they are not true. My word is true. Do not put up with that which you don't have to. Come where I am, and I am in victory. Live where I am, and I am in victory. Wasn't that powerful? Wow. Man, I wish I'd have given that one. Glory to God. One last one. Mortification will take place in stillness. Many I am calling into this place of quietness, stillness, because there is a mortification that must take place, for your lack of trust. The anxiety that would drive you must die in the quiet place. For in stillness, mortification takes place, peace settles in, worship me, spend time in worship, praise me, thanking me for my peace. Now, I'll stop right there because this is a short one, and I exhort just a moment. Pastor Dave used to say, fasting can't give you what worship can. Worship can't give you what fasting can, and we could cross-reference all these, but they all dovetail. When I say dovetail, they all synchronize and they complement each other. They absolutely. Any truth of God, any inroad, these, we have five different inroads that we call inroads into God that are basic foundation for us. One of those is, the first one is praying in tongues, of course, and meditation of God's word, simulation and confession and all those things, and fasting and worship. But here we have an aspect of worship, quietness, that brings forth a mortification to us. Because what we're reading here, and I'll read these last three paragraphs, is this, and I've noticed this in my life many times, is that when you go to that place of quietness, when you allow yourself that endeavor and allow the Holy Spirit time, the mortification against anxiety is His peace coming to you in love. And I cannot explain what a counselor cannot do in hours of counseling that the Holy Spirit can rip out. He pulls out, and He does it so gently, but it's so powerful. When love baptizes you through worship, here's the complementary of speaking the word. Yes, we've just read a prophecy and majored most of this evening on speaking the word. But here's another application, that as you spend time in worship, that worship complements everything that the word is doing. Because when intimacy is being transpired, or something's going on, that place of intimacy, and you're feeling His love, it just happens. And this part you don't even have to confess. Perfect love casts out all fear. And you're sitting there and you're feeling His love. And yes, we're talking about confession, but you don't even have to sit there and say, I say. You just enjoy that love, and it will push out anxiety. It'll just absolutely devastate anxiety. Get quiet. For I'm calling for a mortification in the place of the soul where it has run so many of my children. They like to stay busy. Get away with me. Get quiet. Folks, the hardest thing for all of us to do is to get quiet in this day and hour. Even when we come to church, it's hard. That's the fight. It really is. I am concerned about all of you all the time because I believe I pastor the most wonderful group of people, but we have a select, well, they're not select. Everybody does something here that wants to do something, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. At the same time, I'm all the time praying over people and even asking people that are working in our services, are you getting something? Are you able to get something? Because my objective is not to build a ministry, it's to build the person. I want people to be, I want them, if they can handle it, praise God. And we should, God's given us the ability to be ambidextrous. He's given us the ability to use right and left hand. He's given us the ability to engage in work and to receive at the same time. But if there's any harness on any of it, it's on, for my part, it's on the work. God, let the flow of ministry. See, folks, you're after the same thing I'm after. We want to come in here in the days ahead and the glory be so strong that it fills this tap. You remember a few months ago when we had those two or three services where we couldn't do anything but worship? We want a bunch of those. We want glory to come in here. We want prophecy to come in here. We want his handmaidens to stand and prophesy. We want his young men to see visions. We want the power of God in here like ways like we've never seen before in his glory. We're going to see it, and we are seeing it. I say we see it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Start to set aside time to get quiet. Spend time in my presence. Spend time loving me. And let me love on you. For the fear that has driven you, the fear that has guided you, I want it to go. Oh, my love wants to completely eradicate all fear. But your souls have been trained by fear, so I ask you to come into the quiet, into the secret place where fear will be dealt with and it will rule your life no longer. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. Immokalee, this region of Florida is under an inglorious, powerful flow. We're climbing that mountain. At the top of that mountain is revival. At the top of that mountain is the outpouring. At the top of that mountain is the flow of your glory that we seek after. And we've sought for. We will not abate. We will not relent. We will not stop. All things are possible to them that believe. Father, I thank you and I praise you for your glory. Thank you for your word spoken that is in our mouth. And thank you for the word sown in our hearts. We give you all the praise and glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. Amen. Hallelujah.